Good morning. Have you ever been around someone whose presence alone made you nervous or uncomfortable? Perhaps it was the way they were dressed, or maybe it was their accent or their skin color or the surroundings where you encountered them. Maybe just the way they acted made you nervous, the way they looked at you, the way they stared, the way they handled themselves. We've all been in situations where things didn't feel right. We often call this our sixth sense. Sometimes that uneasy feeling is something like a defense mechanism that was put there to keep us protected from danger. But what about when that sixth sense is falsely triggered? When we look at someone with disdain simply because they are not like us, or they make us uncomfortable. Or perhaps it is because we think that we are better than they are. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. It says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So he speaks this parable because there were people there that believed that they were righteous and they despised everyone else. And so he gives them a parable to help them come out of that mentality. Surely none of us would ever look down on someone because of anything that they said or did, or because of the color of their skin, or because of the place that they're from, or because of anything like that, right? It seems like most of the prideful and prejudiced people in our society are the ones that are clamoring about pride and prejudice. The Bible has a lot to say about pride and prejudice, and that's what this parable is about. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. He starts the parable like this. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. He draws a picture for the audience to see of who's coming up. These people, we think of a Pharisee and we think, oh, he must be a, I don't know what he is. He's a lawyer or something, right? We've studied that before. What is a publican? Oh, we know what he is. He's a tax collector. But these people would have drawn this picture. They would have had a very clear image of what these men looked like as they went up into the temple to pray. It would be much like if I said to you today, I looked and I saw there was a king, and he was in king's apparel, and he walked towards the throne, and there was also a bum, a peasant, a beggar, a wino. And you would have a picture in your mind automatically. Whatever you think it may be different for you than it is for me, but you would have this picture. And so Jesus draws this picture, and he brings them to the temple in their thoughts. If you think about the average person reading the Bible, they may not even know what a Pharisee or a publican is. But you can bet that the people that Jesus is addressing with this parable knew. If you look up the word Pharisee in the dictionary, it will read like this: a member of an ancient Jewish sect, distinguished by strict observance of the traditional and written law, and commonly held to have pretensions to superior sanctity. They had this mentality about them that they were blessed more because of their great knowledge and because of all the studying that they have done. A publican is defined as a Jewish tax collector for the Romans. They were despised as traitors because they collected money from the Jews to give to the Romans. So the Romans would tax the Jews, but they didn't feel right going in and taking the taxes themselves because they would get a fight on their hands. So rather, they appointed tax collectors from among the Jews that can go among them. Well, the Jews didn't like them. They hated them. They despised them. In fact, he says, here we have two people coming to the temple to pray. One who is a Pharisee, a leader of the law, knows the scripture, knows the word of God. He is a religious person of the strictest order. And then we have this beggar, this tax collector, the scum of the scum, the worthless, but that's what they saw him as. So if we can picture these two men going up to the temple to pray, the self-righteous Pharisee and someone he naturally despised, but consider this, both went up to the temple for the same purpose, to pray to their God. They both went to pray to God. Have you ever wondered what draws people to come to our modern day worship? Maybe these two men had the same intentions but had a very different view of themselves and of God. The parable is not a very long one. It's just five verses. It's six if you consider verse 9 as part of the parable. But first, the verse we just read, five verses in all, the verse we first read plus this, Luke chapter 18, verse 11 through 14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There are some other things that the faithful Jew might recognize in this parable that we don't see right away. The first thing it says is the Pharisee stood and prayed thus. He stood and prayed. What do you picture when you read that? The Pharisee and the publican go up to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee stood and he prayed thus, Lord, I thank thee that I am not like other men. He stood and prayed. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. Jesus says in Matthew 6 and verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They would go out and they would pray these public prayers where everyone can hear them. I used this in an illustration once before, but I can remember one time, Darlin and the kids and I, we went to see the Grand Canyon, and we stayed in Las Vegas at a hotel there in Las Vegas. And we walked down what is called the Old Strip, and we watched a lot of people. They had these people that would spray paint these beautiful murals and scenes with spray paint. And they had these people that would do magic tricks, and they had a whole lot of people out there. But the Strip is long. It's probably a couple of miles long, and you're walking down looking at shops, and everybody's trying to sell something. And you know what we heard? Blessed be the name of the Lord! We could hear preaching. There was preaching. Somebody's preaching and you could hear it. And the closer we got, the louder it got. And we finally came to this place and he had a bigger crowd gathered than any of the other vendors. And it was one guy standing on a crate and he was preaching. And he was out there just preaching away. I thought about the Pharisees when we saw that. And I thought about how they love to stand in the synagogues and they love to pray in public places. Both of the men went up to the temple to pray, but the posture of the first tells a tale. It's not that standing to pray is wrong, but standing to be seen of men was his motive. The motive was of his heart. When we look at the prayer of the Pharisee, we see that he followed the common method. He went up to the temple to pray, and in fact, he offered a prayer of thanks. He followed the normal method of prayer. He offered a prayer of thanks to the Lord. Perhaps the fact that the publican was there in his presence fueled the words of his prayer. God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners. The publican would have to fit into this description, as this is what Jews would see the publicans as. They were extortioners. They're extorting money from us. They're extortioners. I thank God. I thank you that I'm not as other men. And in case you didn't understand me, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like him either. The Pharisee thanks God for the things he's not. Extortioner, unjust, adulterer. Can you imagine telling a man leading a public prayer up here and saying, God, I thank you that I'm not a drug dealer or a child molester. I thank you that I'm not a murderer. That's basically what he's doing. He's thanking God for the things that he's not. In his calling these things to view, he's in essence making a statement that he's righteous above others, especially as he says, even as this publican, even as this publican, this sinful man over here. We are quick to see the hypocrisy and self-righteousness of the Pharisee. But being 2,000 years removed from the law they were under, it may be difficult to recognize that we too can be way too hypocritical to people without even realizing it. Whether the Pharisee was praying to himself or praying out loud, it is not clear. It's not really given. Some people say that he said thus with himself, therefore he wasn't saying a public prayer or he wasn't praying loudly. But from all indications, we understand that he was praying out loud for all the others to hear. Verse 12, he makes claim to his righteousness. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I fast twice a week? What does that mean? That means that twice in the week he goes without eating a meal at all. I don't know how long the fast would be. It's usually 24 hours. And he's doing it twice a week. Pretty noble, right? At least he thinks so. I give tithes of all that I possess. Certainly God already knows all these things. So who is he telling? Who is he praying to? Who is he praying for? Are you telling God the things he does? I notice five times in two verses he says, I. He does seem to be full of himself. After all, that's a pretty good resume. He's in all good conscience trying to live for God the way he feels God wants him to. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You remember the rich young ruler that came up to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, obey the law, the commandments. He goes, I already did. Which ones? And he told him. And he said, I've already done those things. Well, then sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. I've done everything that I am obligated to do here, but you lack one thing in that your heart is not right. You have selfishness, and it's going to kill you. The problem lies in this guy, this Pharisee. The problem lies in his attitude. He knew not that he fit into the category of the unjust that he was just praying about. Thank God that I'm not like the unjust. He was very unjust in that he unjustly judged the publican. Now we look at the prayer of the publican, Luke chapter 18 and verse 14. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Quite difference in attitude, right? The publican did not even consider himself worthy to approach the throne of God, but stayed back and held back and bowed himself down, and in humility he prayed, God, have mercy on me, for I'm a sinner. And you know what? He wasn't confessing that he was a sinner because he was collecting taxes. That was his job. He was following the law. He was doing what he was obligated to do. He was confessing the sinner that he was. The same sinner the Pharisee was, but the Pharisee couldn't see it within himself. So we see him standing also in prayer. However, his posture is much different. He hung his head in shame, realizing that his sinful state, and without accusation of anything towards anyone else, he smote upon his breast and he begs for the Father of mercy to have mercy on him. Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If we look back at verse 9, we're reminded of who the Lord was talking to in this parable, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. There's nobody like that in our society today, right? Certainly not in the church. Ultimately, our lesson is one of contrast, the puffed up heart in contrast to the contrite heart. The lesson is one of humility. How likely are we to have acted the same way as this Pharisee if we were living in that day? Even today, we find it hard to relate to people who get involved in sinful practices. Why didn't he just get off drugs? Why did he get on them in the first place? He must be weak. What's wrong with them? He just got a sinful nature. What's up with those guys? We have a hard time relating to people whose lives are enveloped in sin. We talked about in our Thursday night class that it doesn't matter what the sin is. We look at some sin and we say, oh, that's horrible. That's a bad, bad, bad sin. But this sin is not so bad. It's, you know, because it's one that I'm more involved in, or my family's involved in, or I can justify it because of someone. We find it hard to relate to people who get involved in what we consider the most grievous of sins, never taking into consideration that maybe we're just blessed not to have been faced with the same difficulties that those people faced. This is not to say that we can pray as the Pharisee prayed, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, but perhaps you didn't fall into that drug situation because you didn't have the hard life he had and the opportunities to get involved in that. There are things that I've never touched, never seen, never been near, never had opportunity to get involved in. I look at those sins that people are involved in and say, how do they get into that? Are we like the Pharisee when we do that? I'm thankful for the blessings I have, and I pray that I can be a blessing to others. Surely we can understand that God is expecting us to have a pure heart. Humility is spoken of more in the Bible than you can ever imagine. In fact, if all the of all the Christian attributes that are to make up our Christian comportment, humility is one of the most important. It is foundational. We can master humility, most of the other attributes will fall into place. Humility. You know, in James, it tells us that we need to learn to keep our mouths shut. We need to listen and not speak. You can't do that unless you have humility. It's impossible. You have to be able to humble yourself. But if you shut your mouth and say, I'll let him talk now, but as soon as he's finished, boy, I'm going to lay into him. That's not humility. You might say that humility is foundational. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit unto the old elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Subject one to another, clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The publican exemplified humility in that he didn't belittle others, neither did he exalt himself. All he wanted to do is make sure that his relationship with God was right. Have mercy on me, O Lord. Some people believe that only in owning our own sin can we ever truly be humble. This would seem the case when looking at the publican. However, we can't really prove that from the passage. In fact, if we look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, there's something interesting here. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says of Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So if we want to say that the only way that the publican could ever have the humility that he had was if he owned his own sin, Jesus didn't have any sin and yet he was humble. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He voluntarily submitted himself to the Father, leaving a place of being equal with God. And in humility, he becomes one of the creation in order to save the creation. Paul reminds Christians to have in mind the same attitude. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he prayed that this cup would pass from him. Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me always, but if it be thy will. Let this cup pass from me. It was going to be agonizing what he was fixing to go through. Oh, this is going to hurt. You ever been to the dentist? We're going to have to take that tooth out. Oh, lay it on me. You want to take some more out? I'll just keep my mouth open. Take three or four out. No problem. This is going to be fun. No. It's painful a lot of times. Oh, well, I'll give you a shot for the pain. Shot hurts too. I don't even want that. Jesus is fixing to endure the cross. It's not going to be just a slap in the face, a kick in the teeth. He's going to hang on the cross. He's going to be beaten. And he's going to die. And he knows it's coming. And he came for that very purpose. And he prays to the Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. He went a little further. And he fell on his face and he prayed, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." In this we see Jesus in agony praying, yet still placing all of the will of the Father. Then we see when the soldiers arrive to arrest him, in humility, he goes without a fight and he opened not his mouth. Humility. You may look at the Pharisee and the publican and say, the Pharisee thought he knew the Lord but really didn't. The publican probably had a better relationship with God. If you'll remember, it was the Pharisees that Jesus was talking to in Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 6 and 7, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Peter thought he knew the Lord and even agreed to do what he said and launch his boat out into the deep. He thought he knew the Lord and he said, "Okay, Lord, I won't say anything. I'll launch the boat out into the deep if you say so, but you're going to see." You ever tell somebody, "You'll see," and then they don't? Or you wait and then they do? And you were wrong? Jesus wasn't wrong. When the boat started filling up with fish, Peter came to a new knowledge of the person he was in the presence of. When the boat started filling up with fish, Peter started realizing, this is the Lord. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. I am too sinful to be in your presence. Depart from me." He had the same mentality as the publican had. He stood afar off and smote upon his breast, "Forgive me, O Lord, have mercy on me." Who are we today? Are we that humble publican? Are we Peter in the presence of Jesus? Or are we that Pharisee? "Lord, I thank God that I am not like other men." There are many stories of humility in the Bible. People who love the Lord and want to serve Him. There is an equal amount of stories in the Bible of people who arrogantly defy Him. And because of that, they are humiliated over and over and over again. Imagine how humiliating it would be to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord and to be told, "Depart from me, I knew you not. But Lord, look at all the things I did. I was busy about your work. I went to church almost every Sunday. I read my Bible all the time. Depart from me, workers of iniquity." The story is one of humility. We need to be humble in the sight of the Lord. Not in order that He will lift us up, but He will. If you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the message is yours. If the invitation is yours, won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected?